flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Good morning. I didn't know what day it was.
Tuesday?
That's how the travel went.
Monday?
I literally was like, what day is it? Is it Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? Is it Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? Good Tuesday morning. Grant and Danny on the Fan, December 17th, 2024. I knew that much because it's my son's birthday and it's my dad's birthday.
You definitely said good morning, too, by the way. It's 2 p.m. I'm telling you, we are fighting it.
That's a great point. Good afternoon.
We are delirious, man.
It is 2 o'clock. That's true. I thought we were doing middays again. I thought it was 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
I promise you guys we will get our act together.
It's going to be a fun show. It will be good. I got to pop a cough drop.
Yep.
We got in last night a little bit late. Here's how I would describe our travel in a sentence. Are you ready for this? Our flight that was supposed to have landed at Reagan National at 11:30 landed at about 1, and you're like, oh, that's too bad. At Dulles Airport.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different airport than the one that we were expecting to land at. And that's not the end of the world, because when you land at Dulles and you're supposed to be at National, a little bit longer Uber, a little bit of an inconvenience getting back to your car. It is after 1 in the morning, so it's not fun. But you think you just pull up to a gate, you walk off the plane, you walk into the airport, you go your separate ways. Except that we were basically held hostage on the airport, on the tarmac, on the jetway, for about an hour in like a loading area while they decided whether or not we were going to be allowed to go into the airport or if we were just going to have to get on buses off of the plane so that they could bus us to DC.
That's initially what they told us,
at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, what a shubingus.
It was a hot buttered mess. And listen, you know, it's an incredible trip with a little bit of a sour ending, I would say. Like, New Orleans was incredible. It was awesome.
Oh, just I redo it every time. Small price to pay for, like, you get 5 amazing days and a little bit of a pain in the butt on the back end. I'll do that trade
like,
every week.
Like, I'm not saying what it is. I'm not going to use the words, but there's an analogy that we use all the time. Like, there's a fan, right? And then the bad stuff that comes out of humans, right next to that fan, that's our travel. The cab driver I had last night at about 2:40 a.m. said, yeah, they've been diverting. I'm not going to say the name of the airline either. But if it was a baseball league, it would have the Orioles, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, the Rays, the Twins, the Guardians. You know which one I'm talking about? Anyway, he said, yeah, they've been diverting those flights since 8 p.m. out here. Well, really? Yeah. He said, none of the other ones have. So we, you know, the cab guys all talk to each other, and there's been a steady line of just, you know, going and getting all these diverted air flights, which is very interesting because some of the other airlines had no problem landing. So I don't know what's going on. I know that I'm not thrilled. Obviously, it's better to be safe, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not sure it was a safety thing.
I'm not going to question the pilot when he comes over the speaker and tells me he's not comfortable landing the plane. If that's the case, I will defer to you, sir.
You land that plane. Just get me on that ground.
Actually, it's funny that this all happened because when I got on the plane, I looked into the cockpit. I always do just to see, like,
Who's got my life in their hands?
Who's controlling whether I live or die? And it was two very seasoned professionals.
Mm-hmm.
These were white-haired old gentlemen who have flown around this earth.
They've seen it.
And I was like, I am psyched right now. Like, this is not the flight where it's going to end for me. Not with these guys, right? But I always just kind of look in and see. I don't know what I'm looking for. Like, is there something that would make me nervous? Probably not. I guess if Clary and Darius turned around in the gear.
Like a dude whose eyes are crossed.
Suddenly they're my pilots, and I know they're not trained to be pilots. Maybe I get nervous.
Or it's a guy with his arm in a sling. It's like, I still got one hand to do it. Like, yeah. I'd be nervous.
Right. But so I get on the plane, and I'm like, we are in good hands. What happened was He came over the speaker. This is only a 50-minute flight. That's what's amazing. The second flight was the easy flight. That was the, when you get in the air, about 45 minutes later, you're going to land. Before we took off, there was a medical emergency where they called for a doctor.
And we sleep on that, by the way. That took more than an hour. Our departure was delayed by an hour. And
I hope she's okay.
I hope she's fine.
By the way, I think she had the best night of anybody. She got off that plane and went and just had a nice, comfortable nap in an ER somewhere.
And so that really boned us because we were like first in the queue, ready to leave. And then it's like, well, now we can't move. We have to go back to the gate super slowly, rearrange that.
Looks like we're about at Ethan line here. We should be taking off any minute. Apologize for the inconvenience.
We were 8th for about 31 minutes.
Sit back and put your feet up. Now, I do expect some turbulence. We won't be doing any drinks or peanuts, so screw you guys. But in the meantime, just enjoy the flight. So we get ready to take off. About an hour later, we do. So that part, don't forget. But we get in the air. Everything is seamless. Everything is fine. He's making time. I got someone sitting next to me who's a frequent flyer. They're like, we're actually going pretty fast. Like this flight's going to go quicker than you think. He's making up time. He comes over the speaker and tells us,
"We're about 142 miles away. We should be touching down in about 19 minutes, and looks like everything's going well over at National. So we'll be heavy on the ground in about 19 minutes."
5 minutes after that, I don't fly a lot, but I fly enough to know when he hits the boosters, the plane gets loud and starts speeding up. We have been slowing down and going down. We are now speeding up, and the front of the plane is higher than me. Like, we are ascending again. And I'm going, this is not normal for a landing. Like, why are we speeding up, and why am I now tilted backwards a little bit like we're climbing?
You know, that's not how you land. The ground is down.
So I look to the lady next to me who flies all the time. I'm like, am I crazy? Or she goes, yep, we're speeding up and going up. I said, okay. She goes, I think we're going to circle the airport for a while. I said, I knew it. I've had this happen to me. We're going to circle Reagan National.
Had it there at National Bunch, yeah. Because it is a tiny airport and a tiny runway.
Yeah.
It's one of the shortest and most difficult to land that in the country.
So about 10 minutes goes by after that. So now we're about 15 minutes since he told us we'll be on the ground in 20 minutes. We feel that we're climbing and going faster again, but we're just waiting to land, essentially. He goes,
yeah, we got some problematic crosswinds at Reagan National. I'm just not, and he says these words, I'm just not comfortable landing this plane. And and he's like, we're going to make the decision that we're not going to land here. So he goes, we might have to go to Dulles.
Might. He said, might. We might have to go land at Dulles. That was the last we heard. Now, when he said the things like, we have crosswinds and we probably shouldn't land, and we're being advised not to land, and I'm not sure that we should land. You knew we were going to Dulles, but he did use the word might, and then he never said another word until we landed, and I'm looking out the window as we're coming down, and I'm going, this is not National. There's a lot of space out here. There's a lot of buildings and grass. This is Dulles. And that was about, 90 minutes after we were supposed to have landed?
Mm-hmm.
And then we land, and they say, what, Danny?
Your baggage will be at claim number 12. You can get your baggage at 12. Number 12 is where it is. Everyone's like, great. How do we get the hell out of here? So initially, the plan is stay on board, as if we're going anywhere. We're going to bring some buses out here in the middle of nowhere. This is not one of the regular terminals. This is, some sort of, the guy kept using a term like we were all in the airline industry. He's like, it's a hard landing port. I'm like, oh, right, one of those. I thought it was a soft one. I have no earthly idea what you're talking about.
You know what I kept thinking of when he said that? Because he kept saying, like, we landed on the hard landing port or whatever. I kept thinking of the scene in Armageddon where he's like, you landed us on a GD iron plate. I don't know why, but it was like 1:30 in the morning.
Well, I think 14% of your thoughts circle around Armageddon.
But
so
he kept talking about how hard the landing port was.
It's a very hard landing port.
But basically, we were in a loading dock.
Yeah, they have auxiliary stuff just for this purpose, right? So the plan was to have us sit there like horses' asses until a couple of shuttle buses navigated through the Dulles Toll Road, got us unloaded straight from there to take us back to Reagan National.
I couldn't believe this because
that was the plan.
Like initially, and I said to the people next to me, I'm like, we've been parked now for 20 minutes. I had properly, like an adult, gauged how much time it would take for us to land and do I need to go to the bathroom. And we're now 90. We've blown past that by 90 minutes. So I said to the lady next to me, I'm like, hey, would you mind if you let me go? Would you mind if I went to the bathroom? I'm in the window seat. And she's like, oh, we can't get up. No, lady. This is not your job to tell me if I can get up or not. That's someone else's job. Your job is to stand up and let me go to the bathroom now. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to go to the bathroom. So, and she's like, yeah, the seatbelt sign's on. Like, no, rule lady. No, rule lady. This is, you don't get to tell me I can't go to the bathroom. A flight attendant gets to do that. Your job is to stand up. So we had a little negotiation. And then I went to the bathroom and I just kind of hung out in the back and talked to the flight attendants for a little while and stretched out. And about 30 minutes went by, and eventually we found out we wouldn't have to get on the buses because they kept saying, everyone was asking, like, why can't I just get off the plane? Not in, like, out there, but when we eventually get to the airport, why can't I just go do my own thing? I live closer to this airport than the other one, potentially.
Yeah. You have to drive by exits to get to my house in order to get to Reagan.
And they kept saying that we have to ask the gate agent if you're allowed. The gate agent will make that decision. Why? I'd like to make that decision.
I know.
Which Ryan, you thought they were saying air marshal? So Ryan came up to me, he's like, why is an air marshal going to have to be telling us? He's like, so Liam Neeson's going to tell us if we're going home or not?
No, I could have sworn they said air marshal when, I mean, first off, like, I was delirious. I was exhausted. I just wanted to go home.
I get it, buddy.
I thought they said air marshal. I guess they didn't.
It was gate agent. Which you're thinking agent marshal.
Yeah, agent marshal.
Same thing. You know, mm-hmm. Liam Neeson. But they did make the executive and wonderful decision, thank you, to let us go our separate ways. Now, it was an $80 cab ride for me that they didn't give me a voucher for because it was an act of weather. I said to the lady, I'm like, are we going to get anything for this, you think? She just started laughing.
No, silly. No, not you, Grant. You get nothing.
I actually saw when they had a bunch of the leaders of the airlines on Capitol Hill like a week ago,
mm-hmm.
and all the lawmakers were like grandstanding and screaming at them. Did you see any of this
coverage? I didn't know.
I mean, it was way over the top. And I remember watching it, and I've had terrible travel experiences like everybody else. And even I was like cringing, like, God, this is tough. Where they're just like, you're holding people hostage. What you do is wrong. Do you know that you're a criminal? Like, they're just killing them.
So,
but
like,
last night is I'm like not exactly. allowed to get off the plane. Yeah. Not allowed to, like, I'm like, what is different? Like, why did I give up all my rights when I got on this airplane?
Well, but that's kind of my thing. Is like, normally I'm like, man, that is over the top. If you said, okay, there's a panel in 20 minutes while you're waiting for your bag, you can say whatever you want to an airline executive. Right. I'd have unloaded. I'd have had so many thoughts. Right, where it's like at a certain point, I'm going to use the "oh come on" clause. Right, where instead of saying like legally the FAA, oh come on, I've been sitting here for however long. Let me just waddle my fat butt down and I'll get to the terminal. I'll figure it out. Leave me alone. Stop this. Right. Stop it.
Like I'm literally telling them, you guys have created this issue.
Yeah.
I'm going to solve it.
Yeah.
Just allow me to.
Let me
go. I'm not asking you for money. I'm not asking you for a hotel.
I don't want to take this plane anywhere else. I don't want anyone else to have to do what I
want
to do.
I just want to be left alone and allowed to go. If we're in Philly, I'll walk home. I need to get away from you.
Go. Right? Let me go.
Looks like everyone's going to be able to get off the plane except you, Danny Ruye. Screw you.
Let me go.
I did a bit last night at baggage claim that I should not have, where I just said to Danny, like, Danny, I think they're going to send you to Philly. And Danny just looked at me like he was going
to
kill me.
Not the time for bits. Time to go home.
I agree.
It was time to go home.
That's fair.
But
it was 2 in the morning.
Well, everyone was reacting differently. Some people like found him. Like, you guys were doing the delirious, like, kind of, oh my God, this is so ridiculous laugh.
That's
I didn't have
I
it
do,
in me.
In fairness. Yeah, I don't
bother me.
Because it's not anyone's fault, really.
Sure. Okay. At the end of the day, it comes from a place of safety.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Right. So I
have my own conspiracy theories, by the way.
I want to hear those in a second. But you get angry and quiet.
Yep.
Is that fair?
Yeah. When I'm that tired and that over it, I have no jokes
in
me.
But I think even if you're rested, like, inconvenienced by travel, your default is like annoyed and quiet.
Quiet and angry, yes.
I get like laughy. That's not a word.
Yeah, but everyone knows what it is.
Like, I just want to do shtick about it.
Yeah. You're doing the thing where you hit people's arm and you like laugh and then till you cough.
So I tried to tone it down as best I could for you, but I did have to get one off right there.
Oh, dude, you guys are firing.
Standing there at 2 in the morning. And we left, and Darius is like, I can't believe y'all were doing bits with him right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's Darius, like, has a gallon of snot in his nose.
My God.
He's struggling.
I mean, if we kept all the snot that came out of Darius's nose from takeoff last night.
The Atlantic Ocean.
Right now, we could go for a swim in it. It's bigger than Christian's pool. But we made it. We did it. Josh is in Arlington on Grant and Danny. What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. Love the show.
Thank you, man.
So I think when you guys were traveling out, I was working that morning. But anyway, just to kind of recap, when you guys like are on approach and you notice the plane, it'll be climbing, accelerating, a couple things probably going on. There could be a plane on the runway that maybe was really slow to take off. And so I work in the I should have said this. I'm a controller at DCA in the tower cab. And basically what we do is make sure, like, you know, you guys don't run into each other.
By the way, thank you so much.
Yeah, that's a good job.
Yeah. Hold on. I know you have more to say.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean this. I'm going to say it one more time. Thank you. It freaks me out. I don't know how you guys do it, but you're amazing, and thank you.
Were there winds last night that made it difficult to land?
Yeah, so it's a combination of things. There's a lot of variables in there. So, for example, on the when we're landing to the north, because, you know, sometimes they'll be taking off to the north, sometimes to the south. When you're going to the north, it's a lot easier to land. So the minimums, like the lowest you can get and, like, you know, in the clouds and then, like, pop out last minute, see the runway, it's a lot easier to do that if you're landing to the north. Now, if you're landing to the south, what we call that is, like, the river visual approach, that's a little bit trickier because normally you'd have, like, a instrument that would kind of like line you up to the runway, but because you got the White House, you got the monument, all that just north of DCA, they can't do it in a straight line, so you have to come at like an angle. And when they do that, it's a little bit difficult, like as far as getting into the runway. So the weather has to be a lot better. So for example, like when the weather's bad, you might be like, you know, trying to land with a tailwind, and it could be like really difficult trying to make it in. So in days like that where you just got bad weather, and, you know, the winds aren't favoring you, and it's just kind of like a mess. A lot of times, like, you know, we just got to send them around just because when the plane kind of, like, diverts to somewhere else, called sending them around or go around.
Well, so let me ask you two quick questions then about last night specifically. The first is, when we landed, why couldn't we just go to a gate and get off in the airport immediately? Like, why are we out there for an hour in a landing zone waiting to find out if we're going to be allowed to go into the airport, or if we need to be bused to DC?
So that all depends on the airline you're flying. If you're flying American Airlines, they subcontract a lot of their flights to different airlines, which have the same paint color. But if you're flying on one of the smaller regional jets, it's being operated by Republic Airways or by a call sign called Blue Streak. And depending on whether that gate's available, you could land, but you might not be able to get to that gate for an hour because somebody just landed in front of you and they've got to deplane, and then they got to, you know, reload that plane, and then they got to take off again. So that's probably the most likely explanation. Now, if you're landing if you're flying with like Southwest, for example, Southwest is really good about like when they land, they deplane quick.
Right.
And then they have a super quick turnaround. So if you're on Southwest, you're not going to be waiting very long. But American Eagle, like, it's going to be a while.
All right. Well, good nugget. Yeah. We appreciate it.
So, I mean, and also, like, I understand, like, it's 1:30 in the morning, whatever time it was. Not every gate is going to be, like, active and open.
Sure.
But I know there's got to be some way.
You can figure one out.
Yeah, there's got to be some way to say, you know, because everyone who's been to Dulles knows the stupid couch buses, whatever you call those dumb things, that you have to ride to do anything.
People movers.
Dumb Dulles. Instead of waiting for those to navigate across the entire airport, I bet you there's an open gate. It's 1:30. There's a place I can go.
30-minute heads up between when he goes.
Yeah,
we're going to go to Dulles, and when we land, we're like, we can get moving on a plane here.
I bet you there's an Antonio Gates.
Let's go to Derek in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Derek?
That voice is really. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man.
Good, man. How's it going?
I'm great, man. I was on that flight with y'all, man. That was crazy, man.
You were on the flight. So what, did
I was
you?
On the flight.
What was your highlight of the flight? What was your favorite?
What was your favorite part? Was it the waiting?
Yeah, it was waiting, man. They set us on the tarmac, just made us sit and wait when the lady, whoever was at the medical emergency, they signed for the doctor. One guy next to me, he hit the buzzer. I guess they had a doctor up front already.
Yeah, there was already a doctor in that first class region, which was nice. He got up one seat. Yep.
I like that there were multiple doctors that said they could help.
Yeah, and so that when they got off, then they made us sit a while for a minute. And then when we finally got in the air, we got to go on. And then when we were coming, the pilot said he was about to land. And then I told my wife, I said, he's saying that we got to go to Dulles. She said, nah, they're not saying that. And then next thing you know, we landing in Dulles. And then we sat on that tarmac for a while. And I'm like, Willie, what's going on?
What time did you get home?
I got home at 4:30, and the thing about it, I had to have my ride come all the way from DCA to come all the way out there. Oh. Luckily, I had a friend of mine that he was out there, too, so we both got a ride back in because he does his Uber Black service. So, you know what I mean? So it was a great thing, man, but we got home at 4:30. But the highlight, we won the game, man, so I was happy.
That's right.
There you go.
He came back with a win, and shtick aside, I mean, we had one of the great trips as a show we've ever had. I mean, this is a fun little icing on the cake, I suppose.
Because it all happened at, you know, in between 1 and 3 in the morning last night. So exactly. We're a little bit, you know, we're scuffling today.
Yeah. Let's go to Marty and Alexandria on Grant and Danny. What's up, Marty?
Hey, guys. Love the program. Look, so I flew in. I came back from New Orleans as well. Flew into National on Southwest. Landed at 8:18. Nothing. No problems. No bouncing. Nothing worried. So what they told you, the guy said he's uncomfortable. I think that's all about talent. That's not about anything else but talent.
Mm. Oh, he's calling out the pilot. I mean, that was, in fairness, 3.5 hours. I bet some winds could whip up in 3+ hours, right? Because it would have been 11:50. No, it would have even been after midnight when we were landing, actually. I think we took off. I could tell you because I got a phone call.
Yeah, it was supposed to be 10-something.
I got a phone call as we were taking off. 11:43 p.m. for a 50-minute flight. So we're talking about right around 12:30 we would have been landing.
By the way, just think about that. The Charlotte airport packed to the gills at midnight on whatever day it was, Monday.
Great point.
It's just like, what world is that? Because when you land at Reagan or most of those places, like even last night at Dulles, it's a ghost town, right? You're just walking through and there's no one around. Everything's closed. But in Charlotte, everything was humming like it was noon.
We are back and we are ready. For a Tuesday, it is Tuesday. Afternoon. It is afternoon.
Afternoon.
I got those two things squared away. Radio program. Let's get to Commander Survivor. There are only 4 players left. You're kicking 1 of 3 off the island, giving 1 of 3 immunity. We'll give you the details on that next. Plus, huge Commanders news as it pertains to their game next week. Could be a playoff spot on the line, depending on how things go this weekend. We'll explain as soon as we return on Grant and Danny. Second hour. We got Austin Eckler, our normal 5 o'clock appointment on Tuesdays, earlier than normal. He'll be on at 3. He's got an event he's doing in the community today, so we'll have a 3 p.m. Austin Eckler interview for you in a half hour. Looking forward to talking to him. And at 3:45, today's double play, a little over an hour from right now, we will play the very popular and extremely anticipated game, How Much Weight Did Danny Gain in New Orleans?
A lot of factors we're going to go into to this one. Normally, you know, it's Danny goes somewhere. He doesn't obey the rules of what he has to eat normally, and he gains a lot of weight. It's pretty simple. The all-time per diem record is 16.8 pounds in about 4 days set in New Orleans. If you're doing the math, that's 4.2 pounds per day. Similar food, but just not a volume here this time, both because of my age. I'm on performance depressing drugs, so to speak, to try to not eat as much. I worked out every single morning. But I will tell you guys, spoiler alert, weight was gained. CK's already in with his guests. We'll answer all the questions that you guys have during that segment. I know the answer, and it is a number. So okay. I will say.
I think it's going to be a smaller number than is normally the case. But we will get there at 3:45 today, so make sure you're listening at that time. Today is Tuesday, which means Commanders Survivor. We're going to boot somebody off the island and give somebody immunity. There are only 4 players left this season to try to win Commanders Survivor. Jaden Daniels, who has immunity, going into this week, so he will be one of the final 3 players remaining. And then you're voting on these 3 players, 1 for immunity, 1 to get voted off the island. Wide receiver Terry McLaurin. 2 touchdown catches, 73 yards. Linebacker Bobby Wagner, semi-quiet game for him. And linebacker Frankie Louvu.
Really quiet for him.
He had a defended pass, like a PBU in the middle of the field on a near interception, but he kind of dropped the pick.
Yeah, actually. A couple quarterback hits, and that's your ball game. So if you're not voting, let me try to put it this way. If you're not voting off Frankie Luvu, it's probably a, well, this year's been pretty awesome. He's been great in every capacity. It wouldn't be based on this game. Probably same for Bobby Wagner. Daniels was already immune, and McLaurin had a couple of touchdowns. So you kind of you have your eyeball towards maybe who might get voted off this time.
Go vote Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Immunity and someone's going home. The three players you're choosing between McLaurin, Wagner, Luvu, Daniels, immune into next week already. Next on the to-do list, news of the day. The Commanders have had their week 17 game with the Atlanta Falcons flexed. So this is not this coming weekend where they will play at home against the Eagles at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. But a week from Sunday, they were due to play the Falcons at 1 o'clock. They have been flexed to Sunday night football. And this, to me, was a pretty easy decision for the NFL based on this weekend and what's expected. Washington plays Philly. The Eagles are favored to win the game. Atlanta plays the New York Giants. The Falcons, despite struggling on offense immensely, are favored to win that game. If both of those things happen, Danny, Atlanta will be within one game of Washington in the wild card hunt for the seventh wild card spot going into the head-to-head matchup in Week 17 in Landover at Northwest Stadium. A Falcons win in Maryland in going on, what, 12 days, whatever it is, would mean that they have the same record as Washington and now the tiebreaker with the head-to-head win. So that game is effectively for the seventh wild card spot if Atlanta holds serve and beats the Giants this weekend to get back over 500, and if Washington can't upset Philly, then the Falcons would be playing in D.C. for the chance to control their own destiny in Week 18. Contrarily, here at home, if the Commanders, even with a loss to the Eagles and a Falcons win, they'd only be one back, play Atlanta at home and beat them in that primetime Sunday night football game, they will clinch a playoff spot almost certainly at that time. There's some a chance maybe that Seattle and L.A. could, you know, ruin
be a fly in the ointment there, yeah.
But it makes perfect sense that that would be a primetime game next week.
So there are other options, certainly. Green Bay and Minnesota, you know, for seeding and for, you know, potential, I wouldn't say the division, but you never know with Detroit's injuries. Maybe they fall down a little bit. That's a pretty meaningful game.
If Washington beats Philly, beats Atlanta, then you have a chance to run the table. The sixth seed's still on the table.
Absolutely. Arizona and the Rams, which, you know, maybe not quite as marquee, but that could be for a you know, potential playoff spot as well, given the events of the next week or two. But yeah, this one, to me, is twofold. One, everything you just laid out in terms of playoff implications. And two, Jaden Daniels. So that's kind of the, just as a reminder, this is the national audience now cares, right? This is the flavor of the month, flavor of the season, whatever you want to call it, that you've got a game with the backdrop and intrigue of a potential postseason berth, and Jaden Daniels is involved, that's going to get flexed.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. This weekend, the Commanders could actually lock up a playoff spot. And then the game with Atlanta, even on primetime, wouldn't matter. Although in that hypothetical where it doesn't matter, it would mean the Falcons lost. And I would imagine we would see Michael Penix's first start probably against the Commanders if they've been eliminated. And that's kind of a fun matchup at that point, where you'd have two top 10 picks, Daniels, who's your Rookie of the Year candidate, Penix, who was a Heisman Trophy candidate last year when Jaden Daniels won it, making his first start potentially. That would mean the Falcons lost to the Giants, which they absolutely should not do. But here is how Washington would clinch the playoffs this weekend. There are three different paths to that, so I'll make it as least complicated as possible. The first option is a Commanders win with a Falcons loss or tie and a Rams loss. Who do the Rams play this weekend?
I had it right in front of me.
That means Washington beats Philly, which is unlikely but could happen. Atlanta loses to the Giants, which is unlikely but could happen. And then the Rams have to lose their game.
At the Jets.
Very unlikely. Mm-hmm. So I would say that if that happens, miracle's too strong, but there's probably less than a 10% chance that all three of those things happen. Number two way that the Commanders could clinch a playoff spot this week. The Commanders win, again, over the Eagles, unlikely but possible. The Falcons lose or tie, unlikely but possible. And then this one I actually think will happen. Seattle loses or ties. They play the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have Geno Smith. It might be Sam Howell. We watched a little bit of that game at our buddy Christian's house on Sunday Night Football.
Watched about 6 minutes, and we saw Sam Howell get sacked 21 times, I think, number's approximate.
Don't forget the picks as well.
Oh, that's right.
Squeeze otherwise, I thought he played a really good football game.
Mm-hmm.
Third and finally, the way the Commanders could get into the playoffs this weekend and not have to wait till the primetime game against Atlanta. Washington ties, Atlanta loses, Arizona loses their ties, the Rams lose their ties, Seattle loses their ties. As long as the Rams and Seattle don't both tie.
Yeah, that one, respectfully, I'm not paying much attention to.
I'm going to just cross that one out.
Look, so this is basically Washington wins and a couple of things happen. They're done. A.K.A. they're in. It's good.
Yes.
But how about this? The key central takeaway is the Washington winning.
Commanders win, Falcons lose, and one of the NFC West teams lose. Washington's in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. And this, by the way, isn't just for this week. This is at any point, right? Like, and I think that's an important clarification. Washington gets one more win. And the Rams, Atlanta, or Seattle, at any point, loses, you now have Washington in the postseason, as I understand it.
This weekend, probably not going to be with the weekend they clinch, but it's on the table. But it does set up for an awesome home game on Sunday Night Football against the Falcons, winning your in scenario.
Pretty much.
That could be the 2012 game against the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's if everything holds serve this weekend, as it's, you know, again, looking at prognostications, Washington, tough opponent in Philadelphia. Atlanta, a terrible opponent with the Giants. It sets up that matchup.
Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. The other big news in D.C. sports today, from a gridiron standpoint, is that the RFK legislation is going to be a part of a budget bill via reporting, which means a massive breakthrough at trying to get a stadium downtown in D.C. Let's get to that next. Austin Eckler's on the show in 20 minutes. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. By the way, it has been very cool to see everybody sending us their Odyssey year in review minutes listened.
Yeah, it's neat, man.
I had a listener send me a receipt that he'd listened to 120,000 minutes of 106.7 The Fan.
I don't know that there are that many minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're awake, that's pretty much every waking second of being a person. Right? And that's like all the time. Like our whole broadcast day from start to finish, every day that we do it.
I think that's like 85 days. Because if you think about it, so we got 24 hours in a day, so 24 times 60. So there are 24 times 60, 1,440 minutes in a day. If you're listening for 120,000 minutes, you're listening for 83 days of the year. Mm-hmm. That is astounding and incredible, and we thank you
very
much.
That's amazing, yeah.
We also accept the people that listen for 3,000 minutes.
Everyone's allowed.
Everyone's in the club. But if you're one of those top 5%ers like Danny Ruye is, you earned it. You did your thing. I saw that you posted your
I got mine.
Year in review.
Yeah, I got. I was amazed because, as I said, I literally work here, and there are people that have like twice as many as I do.
Right.
I'm in the 40,000s. Because I stream our show every day, and I, you know, check out everybody else's shows as well, you know, around the house, futzing around. But yeah, it's really cool, man. Honestly, just shtick aside, it's such a neat thing to be able to have that kind of like tangible trophy and proof. It's a cool thing that Odyssey does. So people are like, hey, this is actually a huge part of my life. Look at this number of minutes I spent listening to you clowns wax poetic. It's awesome.
Yeah, if you got an impressive number of minutes you want to show us, send it our way at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. And we'll take a peek, but very, very cool, and a big thank you goes to all of you guys who check out the show all year long. Danny, the Commanders today, in their quest to get their stadium back at the RFK site in D.C., took a gigantic step forward. As we found out, legislation for the RFK land to be given back to the city will be a part of the budget bill. It had to be attached to, clothes pinned to, or else we were going to have to wait another year, potentially. It sounds like that is absolutely happening.
Yeah, so here we go, right? Now the big hurdle, again, assuming this all goes according to plan and the reporting is correct, I have no reason to doubt it. Well, you know, I mean, this was the biggest one, right?
Yep.
You can't, I was trying to come up with an analogy for this, talking to somebody. I think it was one of my wife's friends, where you can't prepare the meal without the restaurant. There are no ingredients yet. You know, there's no cookware. But the ground that you're going to put the restaurant on. That's what this is. Any idea of, oh, we could try to do this, or we could put this on campus, or we could add this metro feature, or put this Champion Square, or have this kind of parking. Not, that's all just philosophy about what you want to do and how you want to do it until this part happened. This is the biggest thing. Now, do not underestimate DC's ability to screw it up. Do not underestimate a grandstanding council member, or you know, somebody else being a fly in the ointment, or some ANC commissioner making it about themselves. Who knows what? Okay, and again, I'm not criticizing anybody. I think what you think. I agree with you. I hate the bad thing. I love the good thing. We're on the same team. At all times, I never differentiate from that, or deviate from it, rather. But I'm telling you, it's not done. You can't have any conversation until this happened. So if this all goes forward, this was the biggest and largest obstacle to the team playing football games at the RFK site.
What I have always been told by high-ranking officials on the team side is that when DC got the land, it would be a layup, essentially. That getting the land to DC was the challenge. That was the game that was being played. That's where they would win or lose. That when DC got the land back, that there was a fairly clear path to victory and to the RFK site. Now, I'm understanding what you're saying, and mm-hmm. I agree with you. Like, nothing happens easily. We're just going from federal politics to local politics. But I think that the local politics is going to be a lot easier, and it might not be seamless or without impediments, but I would imagine that as soon as this becomes official, and the reporting that we've seen today that the legislation's part of this budget bill becomes a finality, that for the most part, this thing's over. You get your stadium in the city. That's kind of how I am viewing this. Hopefully, I'm not overstating that. I will say, having just got back from New Orleans with my pal Danny Huhay,
mm-hmm.
walking to the downtown stadium with a massive fans that are just walking from the French Quarter to the urban city stadium that we went to, hard to top that, man.
That's the blueprint. We talked about it yesterday on the show a little bit, but just to double down the folks for folks who might not have heard it, there's not a ton. There's a parking garage. There's parking options if you want to drive in and around the stadium, but it's not what you're meant to do. Does that make sense? Like, the way that they've got this thing constructed is there's a thing called Champion Square, and the logistics of it are outstanding. It's not. There's nothing that's perfect, by the way. There's nothing that's ever going to have all the parking you want in an urban environment to have all the different places to go and eat. You're never going to get the perfect storm, okay? But there are trade-offs, and this is the best of the trades, in my opinion. So instead of the normal, I can go to this place and get something to eat, then walk over, and there's choke points where there's lines. No matter how seamless you make it, it still takes forever to get into the stadium proper, right? That's always going to be a thing. They eliminated that. Around a giant perimeter with a bunch of access points, that's where you show your ticket. That's where you go through security, and you're still hundreds of yards from any entrance into the stadium. So once you've done that, you're now in the approved ground. Music, beer, liquor, whatever you want is all there.
It's a big music festival.
It's a big party at that spot. So you fork over your cash, or you don't. You do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And the part that logistically I thought was so incredible is once you're in, now you got free rein. I want to walk in the stadium. I could have walked back out and go, you know what? I found my seat. I'm going to go back out and listen to this band. They're playing a cover of a song I like. You could do that. That, to me, was perfect. Everyone's just having a grand old party, and it was amazing.
Yeah. Loved it. I thought it was really, really cool. I did not realize that. Are you saying that you could leave the stadium?
Yes.
And go back out there?
You could do whatever you wanted. And that was incredible to me. So the story I told yesterday, and this was amazing. At halftime, you know, there's the logistics of trying to get to the restroom. This was a little bit complicated. I didn't love this, but whatever. You have to go around this big long queue and you know, around this corner, and then I'm sitting in this line for the men's room, and it's long. A person that worked there came right up to me and said, "You know, you can go outside, go over to gate B. You can go all the way over to gate A.
Right.
There's multiple restrooms there that are bigger, and the line is always shorter. So I go, I can go outside the stadium.
It's crazy.
And go back in. She said, absolutely. It's the fastest way to do it.
Yeah.
And so I did that and walked over there. And I'm going, I left the doors of the Superdome, went back in, seamless.
So that was awesome. Doesn't surprise me because, like, the path just around the doors I could see. But the idea that you could walk down those steps and go back out to basically just, like, during the game and listen to the bands and drink and really, really cool setup.
Yeah.
But being in the city has its perks. There's no doubt about it. Next on Grant and Danny. I should let you know, Austin Eckler, I just reached out. We have gotten in touch with him. He is not going to be on at 3. We're going to have him on at 6 tonight. So he will be on coming up in 3 hours. We will have him on for his weekly appointment, sponsored by IT Cadre. So looking forward to talking to him about the big win and closing in on a playoff berth, how he's progressing. Is he going to be back before the end of the season? We can talk to him about that on Grant and Danny today. That gives us a chance next to go around the NFL with our fastest 16 minutes. Every game from the weekend, take inventory on who's got a shot to make the playoffs and who's been eliminated. We'll do that next on The Fan.